The city feels quieter today. Not silent, but restrained. As if yesterday's words are still echoing off stone walls, and no one quite knows how to respond. Conversations happen in corners now. Eyes scan faces more carefully. You sense that something has shifted beneath the surface, unseen, but still active. You move through Jerusalem slowly, listening. He's not teaching publicly now. No crowd gathers around him. No parables spill into the open air. Instead, there is absence, a pause. And somehow that pause feels heavy. You notice groups of leaders gathered indoors now, voices low, expressions tight. Plans are forming, not in passion, but in calculation. They speak of timing, of risk, of how to act without drawing the attention of the crowd that still admires him. You're not invited inside. You do not need to be. The intent leaks out anyway. Fear disguised as caution. Power disguised as duty. Elsewhere, away from the temple courts, another conversation unfolds. You follow one man as he slips through narrow streets. His steps are quick, yet uncertain. He looks over his shoulder more than once, and when he reaches his destination, he hesitates before entering, as though part of him still hopes to turn back. Inside, you hear an offer is made. It is quiet, businesslike. A number is named. Silver changes hands. The sound is small, almost delicate, yet it lands with a weight that surprises even you. This is how betrayal begins. Not with shouting, not with hatred, with disappointment allowed to harden, with expectations unmet, with proximity mistaken for loyalty. You think of him, Jesus, Yeshua. He knows. Not because he overhears, but because nothing about this week has surprised him. There is no scramble to protect himself, no attempt to force allegiance. He just allows the unfolding. As the day wears on, you find him again, this time in a private space. The atmosphere is different, though. Intimate. A woman enters, carrying something precious. The scent arrives before you see her. It is rich, heavy, unmistakable. She breaks open the container and pours it out. The fragrance fills the room completely. It clings to clothing, to hair, to skin. Some react to it immediately. Complaints surface. Waste, they say. Poor stewardship. Better uses. And Jesus speaks gently, but firmly. Leave her alone. His words fill the room. He reframes the moment, not as excess, but as love, as preparation, as a gift offered without restraint, because time is short this week. You realize then how Spy Wednesday holds two movements side by side. One heart opens fully, another closes. One pours out everything. Another counts the cost and decides it's too high. As evening settles, the city grows dim. Lamps flicker. Doors close. Somewhere, plans are set into motion. Somewhere else, love lingers in the air, refusing to be practical or cautious. You walk slowly, aware that tomorrow will not feel like today. Spy Wednesday is not loud. It's the day of decision. And you sense that every heart, including your own, is choosing something, whether it admits it or not.